Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm Christine Upchurch here at KKNW AM 1150, now Hubbard Radio Studios. And also, you may be listening on WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York. Or, of course, Cable Radio Network. And, there, of course, there's Transformation Talk Radio across the world over the Internet. Wherever you're joining me from today, I'm so glad you did, because I've got a different kind of guest on this week, and I'm really excited about our conversation. But first, I have to say hello to not Benny, Mr. Taylor over there.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's nice to see you again.
Yep, back for a week, so you'll see my face just twice, I think. But I'll be around. I'm always around.
Great. Well, that's good to know, and I thank you for doing what you're doing so that those of you who are listening can actually hear me talk.
Thank you.
You know, I really appreciate people who have a balance of the scientific, the rational, and the intuitive, and the consciousness end of things. You know, I myself, former research statistician, and found my way into the realm of energy healing and consciousness. And so, you know, I'm always fascinated by people who've had sort of a similar kind of journey. And my guest today is one of those people. My guest today is Rosalind Byrne. And today we're going to be looking at the world from the perspective of horses. Get that, horses. And we're going to discover how to recognize the voices from the universe are moving us in the right direction and teaching us how to let go of control, which I'm always about. That surrender part is just, you know, so important. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Byrne about her experience communicating with horses and how it's changed her perspective on life, on reality. And we're also going to share about how this kind of communication is open to you as well. Now, Dr. Byrne, Rosalind Byrne, she is a university professor. She explores the intersection realms between emerging technologies, science, fiction, and myth, and between the human and non-human worlds. As a university professor, she writes and teaches about engineering and technology in society and the ethical implications of technological development, often using science fiction material in her classes. In her personal life, she continues to discover the transformational nature of human-equine relationships and offers facilitation and translation services for enhancing communication between horses and their owners. So we've got somebody here who is an animal communicator and a professor at a university. Don't you love it? She is the author of Nanotalk, Conversations with Scientists and Engineers about Ethics, Meaning, and Belief in the Development of Nanotechnology. And she is also the author of a wonderful book called When the Horses Whisper, The Wisdom of Wise and Sentient Beings. Dr. Byrne, welcome to the show.
Oh, what a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Christine.
Oh, it's a joy. You know, I so enjoyed your book. And it's funny, you know, I've read other animal communication books, and it's wonderful because it opens our eyes and our minds and our reality to the fact that these beings are thinking, feeling, you know, and they can communicate, and we can connect on a different level. But your book not only has that piece of it, it goes beyond that. You share about your own personal healing, and you also share about the horse's teachings about consciousness, you know, on a grander scale, not just about the human horse relationship. So I'm fascinated to learn, you know, here you are, this analytic university professor. How did this part of yourself kind of unfold?
Well, it was a surprise to me. I was in Costa Rica on a personal retreat, wanting to finish the manuscript for a novel I was working on, and wanting to actually just get well emotionally, having been through a very difficult year of divorce and home changes and all that. So I was there, and I was doing a lot of writing and thinking and walking and reflecting. And one day I thought, I'll just do a trail ride. Mm-hmm. And I got up on a horse named Titan. And I was with the owner of a retreat there called Leaves and Lizards and two other tourists. And the four of us went off for an afternoon and had a lovely ride. Nothing out of the normal,
right.
Except when we got to a river called the River Arenal, I was very excited because I'd never crossed a river on horseback before.
Right.
And so the novelty of the situation was thrilling me. As we crossed, I was the last to go over with Titan.
Uh-huh.
And Titan put his hooves up on the side of the bank to climb out of the river, and I lost my balance and fell off into the water.
Oh, dear.
Well, when I stood up, I was soaked head to toe, and I was laughing hysterically. But Titan was looking at me with trepidation. He was clearly upset, and anyone could have looked and seen that this horse was displaying signs of being really upset. The way he looked at me, the way he stood, his body froze, he looked ashamed, nothing out of the normal except that the poor guy felt bad, and I understood that.
Right.
When I got back on the horse to ride back to the barn, I heard him speaking. And at first I didn't think much about it. I was just riding along, and he was talking his head off about how that had never happened before, uh-huh. and he feels so responsible every time a tourist gets on his back, and he knows it's his job, and how could this have happened, and am I okay? And he's very concerned, and was he going to be in trouble? And I was talking back to him,
uh-huh.
saying, don't worry, Titan, I'm fine. It was sort of funny for me. And
uh-huh.
then we got back all the way to the barn, and he said, you understand me. You can hear me. I said, yeah, I guess I can.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, then would you please tell Debbie that I don't need any more training?
Oh, my
goodness.
Well,
that's where it began.
Uh-huh. So the horses are probably, like, always communicating with us, or the animals are probably always communicating with us, but finally there was somebody who could hear him.
That's exactly right. I think that's exactly what happened, because another horse, well, I'm jumping forward. At one point, I was asked to talk to another horse named Mr. Big, and he kept saying, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You really hear me. You really hear me. I have so much to say. I have so much to say. So I think that's exactly right. I think that they're always communicating with us.
Right. So there you are, you know, hearing the horse speak to you. Now, how do you hear it? Do you hear it in words? Do you hear it in images? Do you hear it through feelings? What can you explain to us how you interpret what the horse is saying?
That particular occasion with Titan, it was as if two people were having a conversation in words, although not with my ear,
uh-huh.
per se. More the best I can describe it is as if there is a way that we all form meaning of what we want to express. Mm-hmm. And then for the human being, we take that meaning and we put it into words that we then utter through our vocal apparatus.
Right.
It's as if the horse does the same thing, but stops short of the vocal apparatus, but still forms it into some kind of language. I'm able to hear it directly. And these are Spanish, these are horses that are around mostly Spanish.
Right.
But I was able to hear them in English, and I don't know quite how to explain that, but I can hear very specific words. And sometimes they give me images,
uh-huh.
and they'll show me something that's happened or someone in their lives. And sometimes it is a matter of feeling.
Right, right. So somehow you kind of just happened into this extraordinary communication, and you two were able to sort of resolve the situation. So here's this horse that felt very responsible and very bad for having dropped you, and you were able to say, it's okay, and that began your journey.
That and the fact that once I shared what I had heard,
mm-hmm.
It made it clear to me that I had not made that up, and that I had not hit my head in the water and that I was not in some way disturbed or ill. It made it clear because Debbie said to me the next, maybe the next morning, she said, and I was a stranger to her. I was a paying customer.
Right.
She came up to me at breakfast and she said, how do you know about that? Uh-huh. And I said, know about what? And she said that we in the stable, the stableman and I, all week we've been talking about how Titan in particular needs to go back for training.
Oh, wow. Validation. Yeah.
Exactly. Once she said that, I thought, oh, my, something's going on here. So she asked me quietly, because I think she was a little bit concerned that other tourists, paying guests, would hear this and wonder, you know, where am I? This is really strange. So she whispered to me, could you please come to the stable? There's another horse that I'm very, very worried about. I'm so worried about her that we might have to get rid of her. Could you please come and see what's going on?
Oh, dear.
And I said, I don't know what I can do. This is new to me, but I'm happy to try. And I would say that's when I began to realize that what's happening to me is happening for a reason.
Uh-huh.
There's something that I'm supposed to share to explain that the horses are teaching me.
Right. So this is a fascinating story, but we have to go to a quick break. When we return on the Christine Upchurch Show, we're going to be talking more with Dr. Rosalyn Byrne about what the horses have to teach us. I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you looking for positive answers to tough questions in your personal and professional life? On Purpose Radio with Karen Florence is a riveting show that will help you reveal your own truth and begin to live the life you've always wanted. Karen's dynamic approach to coaching people in all areas of their lives has made her one of the most sought-after coaches today. Tune in each Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit OnPurposeRadio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you a health-conscious, spiritual woman who is just tired of struggling with food obsession, emotional eating, and constantly having to struggle with weight and food? You aren't alone. The secret is within us, often in releasing internal resistance and blocks to our own success. To learn how to end the war with food and your body now and find peace, go to eatlikeagoddess.com for your free audio. Break free from food obsession and lose weight without trying. That is eatlikeagoddess.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit The Truth Is funny.com.
Sometimes I feel the fear of uncertainty stinging clear.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Dr. Rosalind Byrne, author of When the Horses Whisper, The Wisdom of Wise and Sentient Beings. Now, Rosalind, before the break, you were talking about how you just had sort of happened into this communication with Titan, right? And
yes.
And then the owner, Debbie, was basically saying, can you talk to some other horses? And that really began your journey. Can you tell us a little bit more about what some of the things the horses have shared with you?
Yes. Some of them are quite personal to the horse. So, for example, a horse might be having a difficulty in their relationships in the herd, or be worried about their offspring. Maybe a horse has had a foal who's not quite strong enough yet to be well and wants time alone to take care of that foal. Some of it's about sadness in the horse's life, trauma in the horse's life from the past, in some cases with regard to how they were treated by, I don't really like to use the word owner, so I'll say treated by a previous human caregiver.
Right.
There have been memories of trauma related to being bred with, you know, implements, forced breeding circumstances. But then there have been personal requests, like to spend time with certain people or certain horses. The most profound for me have been, and I'm happy to hear it all, but the most profound for me personally have been messages coming from horses that seem to be quite wise about who they are on the soul level as a species, and what their purpose is in being with us as human beings.
Wow.
And that's been a lot, I think, for me, of the growth around understanding my job is not simply to help owners hear their horses.
Mm-hmm.
My job is really to help carry a deeper message about our purpose together.
Right. And, you know, I'm really fascinated by some of your interactions that I've read about in your book, because, you know, and I think you touched upon this when you said you're not comfortable with this concept of ownership of the horses. It's like many of them have felt disrespected by the relationships with the humans.
That's part of what I'm learning. And many of them, well, just like human beings, some of them have broken spirits inside, so they'll just sort of go along and do what they're told. And they'll go along and they'll try to please, but their will is broken.
Right.
Others of them still have a pretty strong will. They might have a lot of pride. They might have a sense of purpose with regard to their relationship with the humans in their lives. And some of them, the purpose is quite clearly to help us,
right,
because we're the ones that are in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do they perceive us humans being in trouble?
Right. Okay. So a horse that's well, let's say that caveat, a horse that isn't broken, that isn't sullen or depressed, a horse that's well is very aware and very attuned to the individual humans that come into their sphere, into their space. Maybe we could use the word aura. I'm not sure how you want to define it, but
scientists would call it an energy field, you know, a biofield.
It's called the energy field, and they pick up our energy field.
Sure.
And they are very attuned to what's going on in that field, and so if we are struggling with something that's stressing in our lives, they'll be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll feel it. And many of them stand ready to help us see it and experience the reality of it so that we can tend to healing ourselves.
Wow.
Some of them will compensate for places where we feel broken, and they'll help fill that gap in. I have a woman friend who has had brain surgery, and because of that, she has pretty frequent sense of dizziness and trouble hearing. Well, when she gets on her horse, all the dizziness goes away.
Really?
And you wonder, well, how? Yes. And there's a horse who told me we can compensate for physical sense of lack or incompletion, so a human can feel whole on us and remember what it feels like to feel whole on us, which is why many people get so emotionally attached to their horses, and why they're able to help, say, post-traumatic stress disorder with returning vets or children who are having emotional problems or problems in school. Horses can really be there because they pick up what's going on and they can reflect it back to us. So that's sometimes their strategy. Say somebody, a horse is acting up and the person riding is mad and they're kicking and they're smacking and they're yelling at the horse. Well, you know, 9 times out of 10, what the horse is doing is reflecting that person's own state and mirroring it.
Sure.
Which is the other way that they can be so helpful to us if we're willing to look and say, uh-oh, I think I see something familiar.
Yeah.
The horse will shift with us as we shift our awareness.
You know, I know that pet owners have talked about this for many years, about how they often will reflect, you know, aspects of, you know, the human's perspective, a human's personality issue and emotional issues, you know, in the animal. But one of the things that fascinates me about the story here is that these horses aren't just sort of doing it unconsciously. They can do it in a very conscious manner. And they're aware of it. And they're aware of this.
Absolutely. And what one particular horse has told me, named Beauty, is that on a soul level, horses have chosen an incarnation in this form with human beings for the sake of supporting our awareness, our growth, our awakening, but that horses are also on that same journey of awakening to new consciousness, so that we are in support of one another, but that horses have sacrificed themselves to be here for us.
Wow.
So if you think about everything that they've done over the centuries, you begin to wonder, why have they done this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why have they allowed themselves to be? We take credit for it. We say, well, we domesticated the horse, but, you know, we have not succeeded in doing that with all the animals.
Sure.
What other animal has carried such physical loads for us, gone places that are toxic that we can't go, helped us traverse, you know, wild terrain that we couldn't have done without them, we couldn't have done it on foot.
Right.
They've earned money for us, they've entertained us, they've raced for us, they've helped us now and more with therapy. And they're not
small animals, easy to control. They're quite large.
They're huge. They're huge, and so what Beauty tells me is that's a decision. That was a soul decision that they made to allow themselves to come into our care, into our domestication, because of their capacity to help us wake up and to grow and to heal.
So they were doing this for the purpose of our human evolution as well as the evolution of our planet.
Exactly. Bingo, exactly.
And within the context of they're supporting us, they often get used, abused, mistreated, and treated as property. And there's one scene in the book that I find so moving, where, you know, there was a horse that was relating to you about, you know, a breeding situation. Can you share a little bit about this controlled situation that had disturbed her so much?
This is a horse that actually gave me an image. She gave me an image of a man wearing red, walking around with an implement in his hand. And she said to me, I was not ready, I was not ready, I was not ready. And I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And I asked Debbie, and she wasn't sure what I was talking about. And then I came back around to see her on a future visit. And she said, now I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And it was about being bred. It was about being mated so that she could take on the sperm of a thoroughbred that they wanted to breed.
Uh-huh.
But what they did, and what was so upsetting to her, is that they actually bound her legs, because the first time they tried to breed her, she wasn't ready and she was agitated and she wasn't accepting the stud.
Sure.
So they tied her feet together.
Oh.
And so then the horse mounted her. And she was very upset with it. I feel a little emotional telling you the story.
Yeah.
She was very upset about it. But when the time came, she said to me, now I'm ready.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm ready, and I don't need for it to happen in that way. But she was under the care of a different human. She was now with Debbie.
Yeah.
Debbie actually, at the time, had sent her to be bred, didn't realize what was happening, didn't realize the treatment that she was getting,
right,
or that she was so upset about how that felt.
Yeah, and it's like rape that's facilitated by humans. I mean, that's just
for our purposes.
Yeah.
for our purposes.
And I have to tell you, when I read that in the book, I cried. I did. It's just such a disturbing and profoundly moving experience. But you know what? In the book, you also talk about how this affected you. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, I'm afraid I might have related a little bit to the feeling of having no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have very, very, very clear memories. I've been working for years on this, but I certainly have experienced a lot of the symptoms of someone who would have had a childhood trauma around sexuality. So when she spoke to me and when she showed me the image, my heart went out to her. I just put my arms around her. And I said, I promise to tell everything you're sharing with me so that this can never happen again.
Wonderful. So
did
you feel that it was actually helping you to heal?
Absolutely. In sort of a really odd way that a female from another species was sharing a story that I could relate to. Another species entirely. The healing that came was more around the recognition of our deep connection to other species on this planet and to the planet itself. It was like, how can this be?
And that is very profound. Getting to get a snapshot into this connectiveness and the connections that we have the potential to make. We're going to have to go to another quick break, but when we return, more of this wonderful conversation with Dr. Rosalind Byrne, author of When the Horses Whisper. If you are looking for that one-of-a-kind store, then you should check out one of my favorite places, a wonderful shop called Utopia. At Utopia, you'll find a wide array of beautiful and unique jewelry, home accessories, and gifts made by artisans here in the Northwest at affordable prices. Escape the ordinary and find your way to Utopia. In Redmond Town Center, open 7 days a week, and online at utopianorthwest.com. That's utopianorthwest.com.
Do you ever wonder why you feel off balance and out of focus most of your life? Would you like to have an aha moment every day? The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, will empower you to feel wonderment every moment of every day. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information which gives hope to everyone from the healthy to the health challenged. Get ready to restore and maintain your wholeness, mind, body, and spirit through learning the latest complementary and alternative healing modalities. Your new reality will introduce you to an unlimited world of possibilities with the gumption to take epic action for your life. This call-in show with wholeness coach Michelle Bond will give you insight to a wide range of topics, from nutrition to lifestyle choices to manifesting your wildest dreams. Tune in Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio. Vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk. The world is having.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
Oh,
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Dr. Rosalind Byrne. She is a university professor in bioethics, and she's also the author of When the Horses Whisper, the Wisdom of Wise and Sentient Beings. Now, Rosalind, can you please tell our guests how they can connect with you?
If the interest is primarily about the horses, whenthehorseswhisper.com is a website that features my work there. Or rosalindbyrne.com, B-E-R-N-E, rosalindbyrne.com. Either way, there's a way to send me a message or get a newsletter or see what's going on.
Wonderful. And it's rosalynbyrne.com.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Rosalind, you know, you've connected with these animals. I know that, you know, you went from this university life, you know, that's more towards the analytic realm, although I know that you work in bioethics, so it's really more holistic than some of the university work. And then you just sort of happened into this communication with animals. Where has this led you in terms of your professional life?
Well, that's a great question. I actually, although my background as a scholar is in bioethics, I teach in a school of engineering. I teach engineering students.
Well, wow.
Right, and I haven't yet shared with them what I'm doing with these horses. I will eventually.
Uh-huh.
But it's interesting. It's a very interesting question. Why these two different realms, and is there any place that they meet? And when I was starting about to release this book, I went to my department chair to just give him a heads up so that he wouldn't be caught off guard.
Sure.
And he said, well, okay, so... is it thoughtful? And I said, yeah, I think so. And he said, well, is your heart in it? And I said, oh, it's in it more than anything I've ever done, professionally speaking. And he said, well, then you have no choice, do you?
Wonderful.
And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that he could see it that way and not draw the line around, you know, you're supposed to be doing science and technology. Because to me, there doesn't have to be a dichotomy. It doesn't have to be split.
Right.
And so it's sort of like living in the head for so long as a scholar, this work is helping me to connect with what the heart teaches as well.
Uh-huh.
And when I bring them together, it gives me an awareness, a way of sensing and thinking and writing and teaching that's so much richer than when it was so cerebral.
Oh, so integrating this part of yourself that you've basically sort of rediscovered or allowed more of to come through has helped you in the analytic realm of things.
I think so. And what it's causing me to do is I write about technology emerging into the future, new technologies like nanotechnology.
Uh-huh.
And I've been thinking recently, what can I learn from my work with the horses that will help me to see this more deeply in a richer way? And what it's taught me is that as we move more rapidly into technologically driven lives, and as we depend more and more on our technologies, which for all their beauty become so critical that sometimes we don't know how to function without them, in all of that, I feel that what I'm learning from the horses is that we have to remember who we are as human beings and who we are in connection to the other species and to the planet so that we don't lose our way.
Right. And that connection, I mean, you know, people will say, well, the technology helps us to connect with people all over the world, and that's true. And yet, I think that we're probably spending less time out in nature. We're spending less time, you know, talking to people face to face. There is something that's lost with the technology. So I guess the question becomes, how do we remain whole and technologically advance?
Exactly. That's exactly the question. And how do we remember that we are not the technology, that it's a tool, and that it doesn't define who we are, it supports who we are. It's a subtle difference there, but it's a powerful difference.
So do you have some perspective on that you'd like to share? Because that sounds like the million-dollar question here.
Well, it's probably where I need to put my effort in my teaching and my writing and my thinking, because, you know, here's an example. When I go into my classroom, I have almost 180 students in a class, and they're all
carrying a cell phone and they have a MacBook or an iPad or something, a computer in front of them, and they're geared up, but they're not really fully present because they're interacting.
Yes.
And so the question is, are they learning better? Is it a better learning environment for them to be connected in the net, surfing, looking, communicating elsewhere while they're in the lecture? I don't think so.
Right.
So what I'm, I mean, not that there isn't a way, but what I want them to do is put them all away, put them under their desk, and then we do a mindfulness exercise where we just become aware of our breathing and our heart. And what happens is that something shifts in the room. Even in a large lecture hall, something shifts. There's a very different feel in the classroom. And there's a feel of being with one another and connected in a way that our electronic digital connections cannot replicate. It's just different.
Sure. And when I think from an energetic perspective, the more people you get involved in that and the learning process with that connection sort of created by, you know, your intro kind of meditation, that probably enhances their learning because of that field effect.
I think it's hard to document as a research experiment.
Sure.
But intuitively, that's where I'm going right now, Christine. That's exactly what I feel intuitively.
That's beautiful. And what a wonderful lesson that would be for teachers of all realms and in all disciplines.
Potentially so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with the horses, you know, they talk about being here to support us. What are their teachings about consciousness? And how are they, you know, the ones who are not, you know, needing to heal from, you know, the prior abuse or whatever, how are the ones who are healthy and feeling whole themselves able to perceive our reality?
Isn't that odd? Yeah. Some of them can do that.
It's amazing.
Yes, and actually, a slight diversion. Somebody who has read my work about these horses wrote to me recently because now he's wanting to share other things, and he told me about a man who was working in South Africa to help protect elephants, and that man died, and that 2 days later, herds of elephants had walked many miles and stood outside of his home.
Oh, my goodness.
And did not eat and did not drink, and then after 2 days simply left as if to come and pay their respects and say goodbye. How does that happen?
Oh, and that's so beautiful. I mean, first of all, you know, we understand that those sorts of things happen when we're already feeling connected, like, you know, as humans, like, you know, a mother losing a child or something, that have that kind of intuitive connection. But we're talking animals connected to a human.
Exactly.
It's so beautiful.
So as far as being aware of our consciousness, I would say that some of the horses are more oriented in that way. They're more wise, there are two in particular who are able to talk about things in that way, whereas others are talking about their favorite food or the games that they like to play.
Sure.
Just like humans, there's a range of interest and there's a range of predispositions. The ones that are able to talk about consciousness talk about human beings being, some of us being stuck, forgetting who we are, needing to become aware again and awake. And that they want to help us do that. And they see us sometimes as being locked inside of fear, or in my case, I'll share personally, a horse named Conan helped me to realize how I was holding on to a need to control my life, and how that desperate need to feel a sense of control was actually keeping me from fully experiencing myself in my vulnerability. And once he taught me that, it was quite a trek before I got it. I wept with joy because I felt so free.
Right. Well, that's amazing because it sounds like, you know, throughout your book, you talk about how the horses sometimes are giving you messages that you might not want to hear, like, okay, you're making this all about you, so I don't want to talk to you, to talking about the deep lessons that you need to learn in order to you know, experience the fullness of life. That's amazing.
It is amazing. And actually, you know, just to be really clear, I have some basics that I need to learn, too, and not just sort of about the great awakenings,
uh-huh.
but one of the things that a horse taught me was about my need to be more simply respectful and aware that horses each have their own name. They each have their distinctive features.
Uh-huh.
They are not to be clumped together as a group. They are individuals with their own needs, their own voices.
Sure.
And that sounds like a pretty simple lesson, but what if we did that with all people? How different would our world be?
Oh, good point. Yeah, I love that part of the story where that horse was kind of like giving you the cold shoulder, you know.
Oh, my God. Did he ever turn his literal rump to me and refuse to talk to me for 4 days?
Sure. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Rosalind, when we get back, I would like to hear about how your life has changed and how your perspective on reality has shifted and what it is you're hoping for the world based on what the horses have taught you when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
If you want to write a book, find your soulmate, change careers, Saskia helps her clients to reinvent their lives through her breakthrough program, 7 Gifts to Unlock Your Breakthrough Miracle.
The daily support, the guided meditation, the powerful exercises designed of the 7 Gifts to Unlock Your Miracle to expand awareness helped me to consciously create the life I want for myself and my family.
You'll learn her proven secrets to unlock your miracle in just 7 days.
Each day, I look forward to discovering what new technique or tool Saskia will offer us in order to find our highest purpose. We don't stop there, though. It feels that daily I'm held accountable for my goals, my dreams, to live a healthy and happy life. Right now, I have renewed energy to write my book, writing my first chapter after only 5 days in this program.
Visit BreakthroughMiracle.com to receive your free 7 gifts to unlock your miracle, or to schedule a free breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Dr. Rosalind Byrne, author of several books, including When the Horses Whisper, The Wisdom of Wise and Sentient Beings. Now, Rosalind, we were talking before the break about some of the things that the horses have taught you personally and some of the things that the horses have to teach all of us. Can you share what you think the big important message is and how it's affected your journey and how it connects to the journey of our planet?
Oh, sure. So one of the messages is to trust ourselves because we have the capacity to hear and to sense much more broadly than we might allow for ourselves. So I'm still really learning as I communicate with horses, I have to learn, oh, I did hear that. And I don't need to push that aside. I don't need to pretend I didn't hear it or question whether I heard it. I did hear that.
Right.
And so speak what I heard. Speak the truth. Speak what they're asking me to say without fear, because it's coming out for a reason. I'm learning to have to have faith that it is all unfolding, because we are all moving in the direction of learning how to trust ourselves and to really be with one another in relationships of mutual trust and mutual support.
Mm.
So we have these, you know, we have these tendencies as humans to need to control, to need to dominate, to need to be in charge, because
right.
it makes us feel safer and it makes life feel more predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, life can be unpredictable. And there's a lot that we don't control. And there are things that I have wanted to control, like my son who struggles with bipolar disorder.
Uh-huh.
I have wanted so much to make that go away or to
sure.
control it. And the horses have taught me that at some level, my only job is simply to listen, to be there for him and to listen.
Mm.
And so if I can carry that through every day without waking up feeling like, what can I do today to make this all better? But just, what can I do today to simply be present and listen and then trust what I hear? Boy, it helps me to breathe more deeply. It helps me to see more and to be aware of more. And frankly, it makes these relationships with other people much richer.
Sure. And you know, that control, that need to manipulate, dominate, you know, prevent, whatever it is, it's all based on fear. And one of the things I've discovered over the years is when coming from that place of fear, I can't simultaneously be in that place of love. And that love is just so essential to the connections with others.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's an important lesson that I think a lot of us have been learning for eons.
And sometimes for some reason, the hard way. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And so if the messages from the horses are going to help us with that, isn't that just fabulous?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do the horses share with you about the direction that we're heading?
Well, a little bit concerning. One horse was telling me that humans are going to have no choice in some of the changes that are coming, and that we really need to sort of get with it, particularly around our relationship with other species, that the horses in particular are becoming less willing, less patient, less wanting to continue to put up with our fears, our limits, our need to dominate and control.
Sure.
They are asking for a new kind of relationship, for a relationship of mutual love and understanding and appreciation. But they're saying that, you know, they're going to move on without us, that we really need to decide that this is what we want, because they will be less and less willing to participate on our terms.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much a threat, but more of, you know, figure out what you want, because things are changing and things are moving on with or without you.
Right. It kind of reminds me of, a loving parental view, kind of like it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Okay, you know, here, I'm gonna nudge you out of this nest, and
right.
I love you, and you know, it's time for you to move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way. That's a great analogy. It's a great analogy.
And so, of course, if we make that connection and understand this connection with horses, for instance, I know some also, you know, like to devote their time and energy connecting with dolphins and whales. But, you know, once you start to have a different perspective on one species, it affects your perspective on the interaction with every living thing on the planet, doesn't it?
Well, that is exactly what has happened to me. I have had a wild dolphin swim experience maybe 10 years ago that was beautiful.
Yes.
The horses is sort of a major shift, but since then, I have to tell you that I'm starting to sense the aliveness of trees. I'm starting to sense the aliveness of many different species and their connection to us.
Uh-huh.
and are, but not so much that we're the core center of the planet and they're connected to us,
right.
More our interconnections and our interdependence,
uh-huh.
but also their capacity to really be there for us.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
There is something about the human being. There is something unusual about the human being in our capacity to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gives us profound responsibility for our place on the planet and
sure.
our interactions with all the species that are here. It doesn't mean that we don't, you know, usher the ants out the door
uh-huh.
because we don't want them, you know, in our kitchen.
Sure.
But it does mean that if we're open and when we're ready and we're able to trust, there's a lot for us to hear.
Mm, that's beautiful. So, Rosalind, if somebody would like to communicate with a horse or another animal, how would you suggest they go about, you know, working towards that communication?
Oh, great question. Okay, so it seems to me that what happened to me is in falling off the horse, I had a chance to tighten up and be afraid or completely let go.
Uh-huh.
And in letting go, I think that's when it opened. So I would suggest that a process of letting go of judgment and letting go of fear to the greatest extent possible, and then simply sitting in a quiet inner space with yourself and sending a message. You can just do it in a whisper or just in your thoughts and in your glance, sending a message to the animal that I'm hearing you, I'm listening, and I'm here.
Mm.
And I think that animal is going to pick that up and find you.
Wow. And one of the interesting things in your story, and I guess as an energy healer, this doesn't surprise me because I do distance sessions all the time, but it's you talk about how one horse taught you that you don't have to be next to him or her, you know, even touching. You can go off somewhere else and still have that kind of communication.
I think that has something to do with the heart, and actually one horse told me with the solar plexus, and I don't know what that means, but it tells me an integration of all of the centers of our being
uh-huh.
is what's going to make us most open to these communications.
So the horse actually is conscious enough to be aware of our energy centers. Oh, my goodness.
Some of them.
Yes.
Some of them, absolutely. The one that told me center in your solar plexus so you can hear me more clearly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I had to go look up, what's my solar plex? Where is it? What's it do? Where'd that come from?
Oh, I love it. The teachings of horses. This is fabulous. So, Rosalind, you know, I really do love your book. It's a wonderful and easy read. I also love the photographs of the horses. Who was the photographer?
Yes, Kaya Byrne. Happens to be my daughter.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah.
How wonderful. So she must have traveled with you and taken some of these photos?
She did. She does photography all over the world. She's out there, but I wanted it to be something we would do together.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really happy with the way it came out. The owner, well, there we go again. We're not going to say owner. The
human?
Person, the human being who cares for these horses, got them all bathed up and brushed for the camera. And I
uh-huh.
said to her, no, no, no. What we want is to capture their spirit, their essence. And so I told each uh-huh. horse what we were looking for. And lo and behold, if they didn't show up in their personalities, it was
right.
really funny to watch them.
And, you know, I have to tell you that when I look at those photos, I pick up on that. I can sense who they are. I can sense where they're at. So these photographs aren't just like pretty pictures to look at. They actually do capture the essence of the horse. So they're wonderful. So, you know, I'm sorry we're running out of time. Quickly, can you share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you and how they can learn more about this wonderful book?
Sure. Rosalind Byrne, BERNE.com. There's also Rosalind W. Byrne on Facebook,
uh-huh.
Or whenthehorseswhisper.com, and I'd be delighted to hear from anyone who's interested to have a conversation about this.
Yeah, this is
offline.
This is wonderful. And do you actually do, you know, individual sessions for people with their horses?
I have now started doing that, and it's been fascinating work. And people are pretty pleased with what they're learning about their creatures.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Now, do you work with other species as well?
No, I have not been given that gift that I know of. This
uh-huh.
seems to be what I'm being asked to do at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's a wonderful gift, and I'm so grateful that you went from, you know, being in your university environment and being willing to get brave enough to come out with this and share all of who you are. Thank you so much for joining me here today, Rosalind.
Thank you, Christine, for having me on your show.
Oh, you're so welcome. So that's about it for my show today. Next week, we're going to be talking to the wonderful musician David Lanz. And if you'd like to connect with me in the meantime, you can find me on Facebook, Christine Upchurch Show, also Stellar Reflections, the Facebook page for my center as well. And I'm personally on Facebook. You can connect with me there. Also, go to stellarreflections.com if you want to learn more about who it is I am and, you know, what's going on at my center with myself and my other practitioners. We've got some fun things there and some transformational processes. We'd love to share our gifts with you. Thanks so much for joining me here today. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio, that's my line. Nonstop shows, 24 hours, 7 days. Positive talk radio is the new craze. Learn to live your life the best you can. All hosts of TTR will lend a hand. Transform, inspire, educate, create. Tune in now. Our shows are actually really great. Tell your friends, your brother, dad, and mom to tune in at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
There's a great hunger in this world for new lines of thought, because everywhere you look, they say that joy can just be bought. So please come and set aside some time to relax from frenetic. Transform your life. It takes a while, but results are magnetic. We aim to grasp the best in life and track the ways we grew. The how, the why, the what, wherefore, all this we share and do. But every now and then, we hope that you will share right back. Transformation Talk Radio wants you to hop on track. So calling all hosts, tall and small, of every size and hue, there's nobody we'd rather have to tell your tale than you. And if you have a tale to tell of how your life is changing, we'd love to hear you on the line, say how you're rearranging. So run, don't walk, to call us now. We'll set you up and show you how.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Join our radio family. Send us an email, host@transformationtalkradio.com, or call 1-800-930-2819. Host your own show. Let us help you bring your voice to the world.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.